Good evening. I appreciate the privilege to open up the scriptures. This evening we'll be turning to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. I imagine most of us here, when we think of Daniel chapter 9, we think of that great 70 weeks prophecy that Daniel was given. But tonight we're not going to look at that. We're going to look at what Daniel did before that. Daniel was praying, and his prayer was answered. And that answer came in the 70 weeks prophecy, and we're going to read Daniel's prayer tonight, starting in verse 1. Daniel chapter 9, verse 1. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of years concerning which the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God, made confession, and said, O Lord, the great and awesome God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him, to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts, from thine ordinances. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, who spoke in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongs to thee, but unto us confusion of face, as it is this day to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, to all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries to which thou hast driven them, because of their trespass which they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, our princes, our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belongs mercies and forgiveness, though we've rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he has set before us by his servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel has transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. We have confirmed, and he has confirmed his words, which he spoke against us, against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil under the whole heaven, that had not been done, and had not been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works that he does, for we have not obeyed his voice. And now, O Lord our God, who has brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and has gotten thee renown, as at this day we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from the city, Jerusalem, from thy city and thy holy mountain, because of our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers. Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of your servant, his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate, for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes. Behold our desolations, and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before you for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not, for thine own sake, O my God, For thy city and thy people are called by thy name. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you for this great example that we have before us of a man of God, your servant, before you on bended knee, praying and praying that your great and mighty hand would move in this world. Father, may we be encouraged by what we hear tonight. May we be encouraged to examine our relationship with yourself. May we be encouraged to get into the Word and study it and apply it in our life. Father, may we be encouraged to trust you ever more in all the affairs that are before us. Father, we ask for your blessing on our time tonight. And we pray if there's anyone here who's never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that you touch their hearts, convict of sin, draw to a saving knowledge of Christ. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Been listening the past few weeks when I've gotten the chance on BBN. They've had the Christian Classics at 12:15, and I think they've about completed the book. I wasn't able to hear it Friday, but on Life of D.L. Moody. And it's been very good. And I came across a quote from D.L. Moody, in which he said, "Those who have left the deepest impression on this sin-cursed earth have been men and women of prayer." Men and women of prayer. There are many in the Bible that we could look at and see that this would be true of. And most definitely, as we look at Daniel tonight, we can say that it is definitely true of him, Daniel. We remember a little bit of our history, I'm sure most of us here, studying Daniel. You know, the history of Israel, how they were taken captive by the Babylonians, and we'll look at some of that tonight. Were taken captive, and Daniel could have been bitter about that. He was a teenager. Yet he sought to honor God with how he lived, with what he did, to be a testimony to the Babylonians. And he did so. The Bible tells us he didn't defile himself with the king's food, and God honored that. The Bible tells us that he and he alone was able to interpret the dreams of Nebuchadnezzar, that God unveiled to him how the Gentile powers would rule in this world in days that were before him. Daniel saw this. Daniel was there throughout his life, and there at the very end of the Babylonian Empire. You might remember Belshazzar was having a party. You remember the disembodied fingers came out and wrote on the wall, and that's kind of a bummer when you go to a party and disembodied fingers come out and kind of kills the mood. It killed the mood that night. And it seems that no one could interpret many, many tekel upharsin. But there was a man. That man was Daniel. And he was able to interpret, and he was able to say with full assurance that, you're found weighed in the balance, your weight in the balances and found wanting, and your kingdom's taken from you, and it's been divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. And he spoke this in truth. And the Bible tells us that this occurred. Daniel was a faithful man. Daniel was a man who had a right relationship with God. And that's the first principle I want us to think about tonight when we think about prayer. Because the first principle with prayer has to be concerning your relationship with God. Do you have a right relationship with God? If you study the life of Daniel, prayer was a vital part of his lifestyle. You remember the story after the Medes and the Persians took over. Darius thought much of Daniel, and Daniel was famous in the kingdom. There were those that were jealous of him, those that tricked Darius into signing a law that you could only pray to the king. And of course, the Bible tells us in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem. And he knelt down on his knees three times that day And he prayed, and notice it says, and he prayed and gave thanks before his God. His God. He had a right relationship with God. It also says, as was his custom since the early days. We see that this was a lifestyle of this man Daniel. This was a lifestyle. But he had a right relationship with God. And he took to heart what was said in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Daniel took this to heart, and he had a right relationship with God. A right relationship with God. That's the first principle of prayer. We have to ask the question this evening, do you have a right relationship with God? Well, you might think about that a moment, and you might even remember. Well, didn't the Lord teach the disciples how to pray? Didn't he say, when you pray, say, "Our Father who art in heaven"? Well, I believe God is our Father. He creates us. He loves us. He cares for us. Well, I believe God. Well, that's good, but do you believe on His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me." No man comes to the Father except by me. You can't get to the Father unless you go through the Son. Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible's very clear. We sung of it tonight even at Calvary. That, the grace that drew salvation's plan. We didn't sing that verse, but again, that's a part of the song. All the grace that brought it down to man. And God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. And Jesus came into this world that He might go to the cross. That He might die on the cross as that perfect sacrifice, that spotless Lamb of God, that sinners might be saved. The prophet Isaiah said that the Lord had laid on Him the iniquity of us all, speaking of the Messiah. And Jesus Christ bore our sins in His body on the tree. He did a great work there upon the cross where that sinners might be saved and have their sins forgiven. And the Bible tells us that they took Him down from the cross. And they laid Him in a tomb. But as we sang, He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. And in believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can know that your sins are forgiven. And you can know that He lives. The Bible tells us He ever lives to make intercession for us. For there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And so we have a man in the glory. And He hears us when we pray. And He's praying for us. And no man comes to the Father except by me, Jesus said. Jesus said to His disciples in that upper room before He was crucified, He said, "Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Again, that's in His name. And that's an attitude of the heart. That doesn't mean we can just ask for anything and just say in Jesus' name. No, we're going to see it's in the will of God. And so we pray to God and He hears us. And we pray in Jesus' name. For He ever lives to make intercession for us. This is the first principle. First principle of prayer. It's, do you have a right relationship with God? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know Him as your Savior? As your Redeemer? The Bible tells us, even those of us who are Christians, who know the Lord Jesus Christ, there are times we don't even know how to pray. But if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. And Paul wrote in Romans 8, "The Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought to. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered." And so again, it begins with that right relationship with God. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? And if you know him, you have that spirit within you. That's the first principle. I'd like to move on to the second principle of prayer, and that's going to be the majority of our time this evening. The second principle of prayer I want to look at is that you need to be in the Word of God. You need to take time to read, not just read. There are times that I read the Word, my brain's out in left field, and I read things, and I'll leave 5 minutes later, I hardly remember what I've read because my brain wasn't there. But we need to read and take in and understand the Word of God. You see, that's what we have here with Daniel. That's why I want to look at this passage tonight. Daniel, his whole life was a life of uncertainty. He was taken captive. All he could do was look to God, to trust God in days that were uncertain. And Daniel spent a lot of time in the Word of God, obviously. And we see this in verse 2. We read, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of years concerning which the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Reading the Word of God becomes a focal point of Daniel's prayer. Now, I would suggest to you that an individual cannot pray effectively if you're not in the Word. An individual cannot pray effectively if he's not in the Word or she is not in the Word. The Word prepares our heart to pray. And using Daniel's prayer here, as time allows, we're going to look at this. We're going to see this as an example. And I would encourage you tonight, as you read the Scriptures, there are times we read the Scriptures and go through the Scriptures, but I'd encourage you to take some time. And when you take time and read the Scriptures, read it prayerfully. In other words, read it slowly, apply it to yourself, and pray about it. Just quickly, a couple of verses of the Lord's Prayer. You might be reading in Matthew chapter 6. You might be reading the Lord's Prayer. It's been mentioned, Our Father who art in heaven. And we can read that in the Scriptures and we can say, Our Father, and immediately we think, isn't it a glorious thing that we can call God Father? That we're adopted as children of God, those of us who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that a glorious thing? We're not as the children of Israel after they left Egypt who had to stand afar off. We can draw near. We can call Him Father. And we read, Our Father who art in heaven, and we think that the very God of the universe who created the heavens. And the Bible tells us that He humbles Himself even to behold the things in heavens along with the things on earth. He humbles Himself, but yet we can have a real relationship with the God of the universe, and we can thank Him for that. And we can do so as we're reading prayerfully, slowly, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. And we think of the holiness of God, the righteousness of God. And that causes us to examine our own hearts, doesn't it? That causes us to examine where we fail. That should cause us to confess our sins. And if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I could go on, but I think you get the idea. I would encourage you to read the Word of God prayerfully, slowly, praying as you read it. It's like taking a big juicy steak and cutting it down into bite-sized pieces and chewing on it. Meditating upon the Word, reading it prayerfully. Well, Daniel read the Word of God. This was part of his lifestyle. And he was a testimony to those that were around him. Now, we want to look a little bit at this prayer of Daniel and how reading the Word prepared his heart for this prayer. Now, first of all, it's important for us to be in the Word because the Word unveils to us the perfect plan and will of God, and that is to become a part of our prayer. Again, in the disciples' prayer, the Lord's Prayer there of Matthew chapter 6, we read, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we're to pray that. And Daniel, in reading Jeremiah, he read the will of God. Now, he also references the law of Moses. in several places. And the law of Moses makes it very clear in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and in Leviticus that if the nation of Israel disobeyed God, if they disobeyed God, that they would be taken captive, that they would be destroyed. And he knew that. That God was going to restore the nation, and Daniel knew that, and he could read Jeremiah and listen to, I'm sure there are several areas of Jeremiah in chapter 25, but listen to chapter 29, verse 10. I would suggest to you Daniel was reading this, and we can read it today. We read, "For thus saith the Lord," in Jeremiah 29, 10, "After 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you, and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and pray to me, and I will listen. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will bring you back from captivity." Now, this was written many years before. And of course, Daniel and Jeremiah lived a little bit. Jeremiah wrote and prophesied when Daniel was a young man. And Daniel would read this, and he would remember the law of Moses, and remember that, and we're going to see in the verses of his prayer that he acknowledged that what God did to his country, to his nation, they deserved it. They absolutely deserved it. But yet he could be encouraged that God was going to restore that nation and bring them back from captivity. And you can imagine that Daniel's an old man by this time. He's well in his 80s. And he was there at the beginning. He was part of that first captivity in 605. And there were three captivities. In 605 he was a part of, that the Babylonians took some, and then I believe 597, I believe that's when Ezekiel was taken, and then finally 586, when the city of Jerusalem and the temple was completely destroyed by the Babylonians, and he was a part of that. But he could strengthen himself by reading the word, and reading the word prepared him in his prayer. We won't take time, but he could have looked at Isaiah, and Isaiah 62, "For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her righteousness goes forth as brightness, and her salvation is a lamp that burns." He knew that there would be a future glory that would come to Jerusalem, and he could take heart to that, and he could pray to the living God, knowing it was the will of God that this would occur. And he looked at it literally. These 70 years were about up. He knew it was about time for the mighty hand of God to move, and he prayed concerning that. And so we see that the Word of God speaks to us of the will of God, of the plans and the purposes of God, and lets us know what they are, and that we can pray, "Thy will be done." But also, the Word of God also formulates for us a proper attitude in our heart, a proper attitude in our heart. And this is important. You see, Daniel did not exalt himself in his prayer. Now, we might have been tempted if we were praying, "Well, Lord, you know how faithful I've been. You know how I didn't defile myself with the king's meat, and how even after that edict was written, I continued to pray, even though I knew the den of lions was ahead. You know how faithful I've been, but, oh, Lord, you know, those sinners that are my people, boy, you know, they blew it. They blew it." That's not what Daniel did. It's not what he did. You see, the Word of God formulates a proper attitude in our heart. You remember the Lord Jesus. He spoke a parable. He said there were two men that went to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, another a tax collector. And it says he spoke this parable to those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and they despised others. And that's what this Pharisee was like. Jesus said this Pharisee prayed with himself. He didn't even pray up to God, vertical prayer. He just prayed with himself. It wasn't even horizontal prayer. It was selfish prayer. It was a prayer that exalted himself. He said, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this tax collector, you know, and he probably edged a little bit further away. So he exalted himself. He reminded God, well, you know, I fast twice a week. I give my tithes, do all these things. But the tax collector, standing afar off, wouldn't even raise his eyes to heaven, beat his breast. He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. What was it the Lord Jesus said? He said, that man went down justified rather than the other, the Pharisee. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. And that's what we have with Daniel. You see, Daniel didn't exalt himself. If anyone could have thrown his people under the bus, it was Daniel. He was faithful. But he didn't do that. No, he confessed to God his sins and the sins of his people. He identified himself with his people. He didn't see himself as a holier than thou. He saw himself as one with the people. We'll just look at a couple of verses. We see this. Notice verse 5. He says, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and thine ordinances. He says, we have sinned. We see this all through his prayer. Neither have we hearkened in verse 6 unto the servants, the prophets. And this is something that Zechariah picks up on in his book, that the forefathers didn't listen to the prophets that were raised up. He goes on in verse 10, neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. He goes on in verse 11, they may not obey thy voice. Therefore, this curse is poured out on us. Again, he's identifying himself with his people. He doesn't see himself as any better. He sees himself as a sinner before God. And then he quotes Moses, the law of Moses, and how these things were spoken against them. He mentions in verse 12, for under the whole heaven had not been done as has been done to Jerusalem. A people were called out by the name of God, Israel. They built a temple in Jerusalem to the true and living God, and they turned from God, and God wipes it out. He wipes it out. That had not been done. Daniel wrote, verse 13, all this evil has come upon us. We have not prayed before the Lord that we might turn from our iniquities. I think you get the picture. You see, studying the Word of God gives us a right attitude concerning ourselves, a proper attitude of our own hearts. We don't exalt ourselves. We humble ourselves before God, and this is what we see in Daniel. And that's what we should be like in our own attitude and our prayer. There's also diligence and fervency. We mentioned in Daniel and in chapter 6, how that it was his custom since the early days to kneel down 3 times a day, and he prayed with his window open to Jerusalem. This is fervency, purpose, intercession. This wasn't vain repetitions. This was the word of God that was speaking to him, and he was praying that God would accomplish his will and his purposes, and that God would get all the glory. Also, the Word of God brings to us a reverence for God. Again, we remember what the Lord Jesus said, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And we see that in verse 4. I prayed to the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and awesome God. And we notice that the Lord there is really the term Yahweh, the covenant-keeping God. And he references that, God's faithfulness, God keeping covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. So we see that the Word of God prepares our heart, gives us a right attitude as we study it. So it formulates a proper attitude in our hearts. Last point I want to make when we think of this principle, that for effective prayer, we need to be in the Word of God and know the Word of God and understand its truth. And that is that the Word of God reminds us of the faithfulness of God in the past and how he will carry it forward in the future. He referenced the mighty acts of God in his prayer. Verse 15, "And now, O Lord our God, who have brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hast gotten thee renown." He referenced that day of redemption for God's chosen people Israel there in Egypt, how God redeemed them by blood and by power through the Red Sea. And he would also remember in reading the law of Moses how it was that in Exodus chapter 2 and verse 24 and 25, how God heard their groanings. He heard them. How he remembered his covenant with Abraham and with Isaac and with Jacob. How he looked upon them and knew their plight. You see, Daniel, in reading the word, would know that God has heard and moved in the past, and he's going to do so in the future, and this would encourage him. And he would pray to this end. And these things should encourage us. And Daniel, in reading the word, would understand that God fulfills what he promises, the good and the bad. Again, the law of Moses was very clear that if the nation of Israel sinned, that God would deal with them. The reference is, we won't turn there, Leviticus 26, 39 through 45, and Deuteronomy 28, 45 through 63. But then God also promises restoration, and that's found in Deuteronomy 31 through 5, and throughout Isaiah, throughout Jeremiah, and Jeremiah 31. And so Daniel could read these things, and he could be encouraged, and he could remember the faithfulness of God in the past, and know that God would continue being faithful in the present and in the future. But also, in reading the word, he would see the character of God unveiled. Look at verse 9. This is a ray of light in this prayer, a prayer that could speak to anyone, perhaps here tonight. It says, "To the Lord our God belongs mercies and forgiveness, though we've rebelled against him." You see, Daniel, he didn't pout, he didn't complain, he didn't say, "Well, God, you've been unfair to us, you know." No, he acknowledged that God was right. God is righteous, he continues to say in his prayer. And because of his righteousness, he had to judge his people. But Daniel also knew that to the Lord belongs mercies and forgiveness. Mercies and forgiveness. And so he could pray in verse 16, "O Lord, according to thy righteousness, I beseech thee, be turned from thine anger, be turned away from thy city, Jerusalem, thy holy city." And he acknowledges it's because of their sins, but he wants God to act, even as he promised he would do. He wants God to act. He said, "Therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of your servant, his supplications. Cause your face to shine upon the sanctuary that is desolate." Remember in Numbers chapter 6, there in the wilderness, that Moses gave Aaron and his sons, told them how they were to bless Israel. They were to say, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious to thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace." Give thee peace. Daniel's praying for these things. He says, "Incline thine ear and hear." You know, the prophets of old were raised up and they proclaimed the word of God, and the nation of Israel, they didn't hear. The kings, the princes, all the people of the land, they had the word before them. They didn't hear. They didn't obey. And in some of the verses we looked at in verse 10 and verse 11, in verse 14, that word there for obeyed, it really has a thought of hearing the word, taking it in and doing it. But look what Daniel asked the Lord to do. He says, "O Lord, hear," and it's the same Hebrew word for obey. "Hear the prayer of your servant." Verse 18, "Incline your ear and hear." Verse 19, "O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. Hearken, do. Defer not. For thy own sake." Well, God's going to move and God's going to act, just as we sang in that hymn, "In his time." In his time. He makes all things beautiful. In his time. Because Daniel gets an answer to his prayer.
And so many times we think of Daniel chapter 9, and I confess, I'm the same way. I think of the 70 weeks prophecy. But this prayer of Daniel is answered by God in giving him that revelation of the 70 weeks prophecy. Daniel could read in Jeremiah of 70 years of desolations, and he knew that time was about up. And he's wanting God to act on behalf of his people. He's wanting God to act on behalf of Jerusalem, the city that he's called by his name. He's wanting God to act. And that prayer is answered in the 70 weeks of years prophecy that God gives him. And we think about it and we remember, as we read some of Daniel's prayer, how that the nation of Israel didn't obey the word of God. They didn't obey the will of the Father. In fact, the thought here in the Hebrew is they willfully went away to what God wanted them to do. They willfully did that which was contrary to the will of God. Then we remember that the Messiah would come, the Lord Jesus. The scriptures make it very clear that all that he did was well-pleasing to the Father. In verse 7 and 8, Daniel spoke of that confusion of face, that shame of face, that public humiliation that came upon Israel. But we remember the Lord Jesus and the public humiliation that he endured. We read in verse 11 how that curse was poured upon them, and they deserved it, for they sinned. But we remember our Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross, how he bore that curse for us there on the tree. Has anything like that ever happened under heaven, that which was done in Jerusalem? When we think of the Lord Jesus, the Holy One, the Righteous One, who died for our sins. Daniel said in verse 18, he said, "We do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercies." Yes, it's because of the great mercy of God that he sent his Son, the Lord Jesus, into the world, that sinners might be saved. I pray if you're here tonight and you've never trusted the Lord Jesus, that you would have that right relationship with God by believing, putting your trust in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that was the first principle of prayer we talked about. You've got to have a right relationship with God. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." You can't get to the Father except through Christ. For those of us here who have trusted the Lord Jesus, may we be encouraged to take time to read and understand the Word and then allow it to prepare our hearts in prayer. Because we've seen that the Word of God reveals God's will and God's plan. It formulates a proper attitude in our own heart. It reminds us of God's faithfulness. His faithfulness in the past, his faithfulness in the present, and his faithfulness in the future. I pray these thoughts would encourage our hearts, and if you've never trusted Christ, do so. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for the scriptures that we've read, and Daniel's prayer, and his faithfulness to you, and we marvel at his attitude and his humbleness. And as we think of that, we marvel even further at the attitude and the humbleness of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. When we read the verses, "Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." And we marvel that Daniel, in answer to his prayer, was told that this would occur, that Messiah would come, that he would be cut off, and a time frame was given. Oh, Father, we just marvel at your word and the truthfulness of it. And we marvel at your grace that you have extended to men. And Father, we would pray tonight that we would be men and women of prayer, And being men and women of prayer, we pray that we would be men and women in the book, in your word. And that we would study your word prayerfully. And that it would encourage our hearts, and it would prepare our hearts, that we would come to you. And that we would earnestly say, not my will, but thine be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, we give you all the glory, and we thank you for your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus, for it's in his name that we pray. Amen.